Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. When we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under him. In God we still trust. Here in America, he's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fort Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Amen. I didn't let you finish. I hadn't interrupted you in a long time.
Just a little.
Yeah. Just a little. Starts out a little. I'll do it sooner if you want me to next week.
Whatever you feel
like.
Bless
your little heart. As someone once said recently, whatever the Lord leads me to do, right?
Exactly. Exactly. If you'd like to give us a call or something on your heart this morning or on your mind, or maybe you just can't settle, or maybe you just have a question and been afraid to ask or maybe too ashamed to ask, that's what this program is for. You can call us up at 789-0318. 789-0318. You can also email your questions to us at godspointofview@yahoo.com. That's godspointofview@yahoo.com. We are live on Facebook, the Facebook page, God's Point of View. And if you want to get in touch with the great Scott, if you have maybe a question for him, or maybe want to give him a call and discuss something we talk about on the show after the show's over, would be the best way to do that.
Yeah.
You can give him a call at, let's see now. Let's try this again. 606-367-0137.
Amen. You got it. Absolutely perfect.
All right. Missed it last week, but got it this week.
Well, you had the numbers right.
Just a little out of order.
A little out of order, but that's good. Got a couple of things to talk about this morning, Timothy. By the way, typical fall morning.
Oh, yes.
Typical fall
morning.
Yes,
this is fall.
Yeah, I thought I'm going to have to mow one more time, I believe.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to mulch some leaves.
Are you?
Oh, yeah, when they fall. Right. Yeah, I got some pear trees. That's the last thing that comes down, so I'll be out Christmas Eve probably mulching.
All right.
Leaves.
Well, don't be looking for me to help you.
You'll have your cup of coffee by the fireplace.
Absolutely.
Okay. Couple of questions.
With the grandchildren around me.
Amen.
Well, last week, you know, we didn't have enough time to respond to this like we would have liked to. We never have enough time.
We need more time.
We need more time. But it was right at 11 o'clock. I looked up at the old clock on the wall, the old proverbial clock on the wall, and it said out of time. So, but we had a caller call in and ask about the Sabbath and why was it changed? Why was the...
Or was it changed, maybe?
Correct. His question, however, was, why was it changed?
Mm-hmm.
And he referenced Constantine in the year 325, who declared that the first day of the week would be the day that Christians would meet, and no one really knows for sure whether Constantine was really converted to Christianity. He tried previous Roman emperors tried to kill him out, couldn't, and so he decided, oh, that's better. Whatever you did right there is better. Do it again.
I don't know what it was, but it did.
Anyway, I've got a little
little static.
Little, give me both sides would be good.
I'm trying.
All right, keep. He's working on it, folks. So anyway, there was a decree in 325, but all he did in 325. Was to approve what they were already doing, had been doing for 300 years. Now, let's talk about the Sabbath for just a moment. People talk about worshiping on the Sabbath day. When was it changed? The Sabbath was never changed to the first day of the week. Sometimes preachers will say this Christian Sabbath. That's really a misnomer. That's contradiction. The Christian Sabbath. I understand what they say when they what they mean when they say that, but it's really not correct. The Sabbath, which means to cease or desist or to cut off, is the last day of the week, to cease all labor. That was under Judaism, under the law. The first day of the week, the day that Christians observe, was established because Jesus arose on the first day of the week. I'll get into that in just a moment. But it changed. The covenant changed. The old covenant, they met on Sabbath, which was Saturday, as we view time. The Christian day of worship is the first day of the week. Let me say it like this. The Hebrew people met on Saturday to celebrate the finished creation, the finished work of creation. But the first century Christians met on the first day of the week to celebrate the finished work of redemption.
Amen.
Big difference.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus' resurrection was the finished work of redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as old country preacher said, look at here, the church. Wait a minute, I'm an old country preacher.
I love that.
The church was started. The church began on the day of Pentecost, which was the first day of the week. The church, Acts chapter 2. Secondly, the church in Troas met on the first day of the week to partake of communion. That's Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Paul told the Corinthian church to take up an offering on the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. And the Apostle John wrote in Revelation 1, verse 10, quote, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So, all of that put together tells me that the first day of the week was the day of preeminence for the first century Christians.
Yeah.
When you add other verses, and other thoughts to that, for instance, here's a thought. All 10 of the commandments, I'm talking about that Moses got now on the Mount, all 10 of them were brought over into the New Testament in one form or the other in the teaching of Jesus, except the fourth one. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Colossians 2:14 points out that the law was nailed to the cross. Now, the Sabbath was under the law that Moses gave. Colossians 2:16 says it like this, therefore, concluding term, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink with regard to a religious festival. He's talking about under the law of Moses, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day.
Yep.
Romans 14:5 says, one person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Let each of them be fully convinced in their own mind. Folks, we've been freed from the Old Testament Sabbath. We're under the new and living way, the Christian dispensation, or as Jesus called it, the new covenant. Now, why are we still interested, or why are people still interested in this subject, and where did it come from? What caused it to be
an issue?
Sure. Why is it an issue? And it is an issue with a lot of people. Obviously, with the brother that called, when did it actually begin? A few observations: 7890318, or
GodsPointOfView@yahoo.com.
This arose actually back in the 19th century, the middle of the 19th century. It came about as a result of something called Adventism. Adventism, meaning Advent. Meaning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it grew or morphed into Seventh-day Adventism. It was in the 19th century this movement began, anticipating the immediate return of the Lord Jesus Christ. These Adventists were also called Millerites. They followed a fellow by the name of William Miller. Now, not the world-renowned auto mechanic employed by Hutch Ford, William Miller. Different William Miller.
Different William Miller.
The William Miller that started this was a false prophet. You see, he predicted Jesus would return in either, I don't know, 1843 or 1844. Miller's prediction of the second coming of Jesus came and went. Never came to pass. He had a lot of followers. They dressed in white robes and went on top of this mountain where Jesus was supposed to descend. And, of course, he didn't descend. They went back to broken homes. The property was stolen. People had looted. And he was proven to be a false prophet. You know, the Bible says if a prophet makes a prophecy and it comes true, he's a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
If he makes a prophecy and it doesn't come true, he's a false prophet.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the people that followed Miller in what was known as the Great Disappointment, because Jesus didn't come back, was a little 17-year-old girl by the name of Ellen G. Harmon. She was a young lady that had purportedly visions. And she would have them in prayer meetings and this and that and at other times. And after William Miller prophesied and it didn't come true, she began to try to justify the fact that, well, Jesus did come back spiritually, but not, in fact, physically. From that came a new movement. In 1846, Ellen married James White, Adventist preacher. And they became convinced that Sabbath keeping was for all Christians. 1847, Ellen G. White had another vision. This one confirmed. Now, confirming her new belief that Sabbath keeping was to be a primary doctrine. And so the Adventists, under Ellen G. White's influence, became known as Seventh-day Adventists. Mm-hmm. Because the Sabbath was one of the things that they said had to be done. Now, had to be kept. She was a prolific writer. She wrote a lot of things. And the doctrine of Seventh-day Adventism, of course, took on more erroneous kinds of teaching and more prophecies. 1855, Seventh-day Adventists settled in Battle Creek, Michigan.
Mm.
May of 1863, they had a conference. General Conference, just like a lot of churches do.
Mm-hmm.
Seventh-day Adventist officially incorporated, and Ellen wrote for the next 50 years, next 5 decades, nearly 10,000 pages of what she said was prophetic material, talking about the cosmic war between good and evil and all those kinds of things, and some of that the Bible teaches. One of the things, however, she taught was restrictions on consuming meat and flesh food, she called it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, a lot of folks I know like flesh food.
I'd be one of those.
And because of it, a lot of us are getting a little flashy, as old folks used to say.
I'd be one of those.
All those kinds of false teachings begin to creep. You know, if you let one creep in, you're going to have more false teachings creep in.
Yeah.
And I thought this was interesting. Battle Creek, Michigan. Oh, yeah, Kellogg's Corn Flakes.
I was going to say, that's the big cereal town.
Was an Adventist creation.
Really?
Oh, yes. John Harvey Kellogg was a Seventh-day Adventist physician. And he lived in Battle Creek, Michigan, and he wanted to manufacture a healthy vegetarian alternative to unhealthy breakfast containing meat, like sausage and bacon. Pork and you know other
well, stuff. Now wait a minute.
Oh yeah.
Doesn't cornflakes on their little symbol on the cornflakes box a rooster? I'm thinking.
Yeah, but you're not eating him. He don't come in the box.
Well, he's representing. You know what I'm saying?
But there's all kinds of other problems with the Seventh-day Adventist teaching. They say that the devil was the scapegoat. Devil was the scapegoat, and he bore the sins of all believers.
Satan did.
When the Bible says clearly in 1 Peter 2:24 that Jesus bore our sins.
Amen.
Seventh-day Adventism also identifies Jesus as Michael the archangel, which denies the true nature of Christ as the Son of God.
Amen.
And they also teach that Jesus entered a second phase of his redemptive work, a second phase now, October 22nd, 1844, which was prophesied by one of their prophets by the name of Hiram Edson. And so they kept promoting the Sabbath day, keeping the Sabbath day. So now, giving you a lot of dates and facts and
that's
names
a lot of information.
So a lot of information.
Yeah.
We're not to keep the Sabbath. That's the bottom line. Now, the brother Cole had his opinion, and this is mine based on all these things that I've shared with you and the scripture that I've shared. What should we say about Adventism? You can be a Seventh-day Adventist and still be a believer.
Mm-hmm.
However, due to other doctrinal problems that I see with Seventh-day Adventists, I would not recommend that a person get started attending and certainly not become a member of Seventh-day Adventism because of the error that is taught, especially with respect to who Jesus is.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says there's one Lord, mm-hmm. one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, preceded by one Spirit, one hope. And so you get out of, you start changing who Jesus is, and I think you got trouble.
You're on some bad, unstable soil.
I think so. 7890318.
So myself and other people that may be inquiring, why do we carry it over in the Ten Commandments when we recite the Ten Commandments? Why number four, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? If it's not,
good question.
If it's not pertainable to us now, why do we do that?
Good question. You set it up. Let me knock it over.
That's what I'm waiting for, brother.
What we're doing in the Family Bible Hour
mm-hmm.
is teaching the panoramic view of the Bible. So we start with the patriarchal dispensation,
mm-hmm.
and we teach things that were taught there so people will understand the Old Testament. Romans 15:4 in the New Testament says whatsoever things were written aforetime,
mm-hmm.
that's what it's referring to,
mm-hmm.
were written for our learning.
Yes.
See, we're a learning center there. We want to teach people about Old Testament things, even though we're not under the sacrificial offerings and all of those kinds of things. So part of the teaching is the Ten Commandments, patriarchal, mosaical, Christian. When you get over into the Christian dispensation, you see that Jesus brought every one of those over except the fourth one.
Mm-hmm.
So we're giving people an overall panoramic view of how it started, then how it progressed, and then finally how it progressed. And by the way, why don't we go beyond the Christian dispensation?
No, we're still there.
Amen.
We're still waiting for it.
Who said you couldn't learn anything?
But not only Highland Church of Christ Family Bible Hour, but any of the plaques that you buy, you can buy little cards
sure.
you put in your wallets. Wherever you see the Ten
sure.
Commandments, because it'd be a little strange now to have the Nine Commandments.
Yeah.
You know, we see that, and it's still, it may confuse some people.
It probably does.
Yeah.
I don't know when exactly that got started, probably back when our country was formed.
Maybe.
You know, our country was formed on the principles of Judeo-Christian values,
mm-hmm.
and Judeo-Christian or Christian, the values of the Jewish people are certainly from the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and the Christians are certainly from the Bible. So we have some very similar views. Don't forget, God's redemptive work still includes the Jew.
Amen.
They are His chosen people.
Amen.
We have been grafted in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a place for them in the end times. So the Ten Commandments have always been a foundational tool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they were intended to get into the intricacies of dispensational change and Jesus brought them all over into the New Testament. I don't think that was the intent of them. The intent of them is to try to remind people, here are some principles. Let me elaborate a little more on that. This thought just came to me.
Okay.
God has always, since the beginning of the time, as we know time, said that man ought to have a day of rest. Why? Because he rested.
Amen.
So the word Sabbath means rest or cease and desist, cut off, stop. It's kind of like the thought of tithing. I believe you can do more with 90% and God on your side than you can with 100% and not have God on your side.
Amen.
So God's trying to teach us something.
Yeah.
Back years ago in the French Revolution, they outlawed the day of rest.
Hmm.
They wanted to get completely away from any reference to God whatsoever. They were atheists and theists. Atheists and deists. They might, you know, maybe there was a creator up there, but he doesn't interfere with us, and we're not going to bother him. So they worked 7 days a week, but liked to destroy them.
Yeah.
So they went back to the old way of taking a day off. Physically, it's necessary.
It is.
And emotionally and spiritually.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. So, you know, when I was growing up, I was kind of taught, you know, the older people always taught, you don't work on Sunday, you don't do this on Sunday, you don't do that. And there's some scripture that's sort of contrary to that, I guess, to some degree.
Yeah.
You know, if your ox be in a ditch, I think it is that.
Sure.
Is that what I'm thinking?
Sure.
You know, or you're not going to pull him out of the ditch.
Yeah. Those are principles.
Those kinds of things.
Sure.
But it is good to take the lead of God done when he created the earth.
Yeah. There's a need. Man has a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And you can try to fill it with money, you can try to fill it with property, you can try to fill it with people.
Not going to do it.
It doesn't work.
Nope.
You got to have God. Nature abhors a vacuum, and if there's a vacuum, it's going to be filled with something. And so this day of rest, if you want to call it that, working 6 days and giving God a day, and I think that is highly recommended. And God knows what we need better than we know what we need.
But don't you think sometimes that some people get all caught up in life, and we only give God the Sunday? I mean, we're going to church and trying to rest stuff. I'm kind of thinking we ought to maybe give God
every day. Every day, of course.
I mean, we're going to work, but we need to give him thanks.
Of course.
He provides everything for us.
Everything we do, we're to give glory to God.
Amen.
On the job, off the job, on the creek bank, out in the cornfield, wherever you are.
Mm-hmm. Don't just talk to him on Sunday.
Absolutely. I was listening to a song recently, of course, a bluegrass song. Bluegrass Gospel, and he was talking about when he got to the end of the row, plowing in the field, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He said at the end of each row, he'd stop and give God thanks for all of God's blessings. I thought that was a pretty good
thing. That's a good way to do it.
Don Rigsby sang that.
Hmm.
Called The Harvest of My Heart.
Speaking of Bluegrass Gospel
music, yeah.
Joe Mullins and the Radio Ramblers is coming back.
They are indeed, and I don't know how many years they've been coming, but we like them, and we hope they like us.
I want to think this is the third year.
It's great.
Yeah. It is great.
Yeah.
Those guys, and they're just a great group of guys.
Well, too. When are they coming, brother?
It's the Sunday after Thanksgiving.
About the 25th, is it?
Something like that. Yeah, I don't have my calendar in front of me, something like that. Oh, got a call coming in real quick.
Let's take it.
Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning, and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
Yes, I was the one who called in there last week about the commandments.
Hello, brother. How are you?
All right. I was listening to your, what you were saying there about the Sabbath.
Yes, sir.
Now, in the Bible, in Matthew, it says, be ye whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. And it says, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandments of God of none effect to your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.
Amen.
But in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines of the commandments of men.
Yes, sir.
And Christ said in Matthew, he said, think not I come to take from, but to add to. He did not change none of the commandments.
No, you're misquoting that, brother, and you misquoted it last week, by the way.
Yeah.
With all due respect, you misquoted it. Jesus said, think not that I came to destroy the law, but to fulfill. He didn't add to anything.
And right.
And he commands us not to add to or take away.
Mm-hmm.
So he fulfilled it, meaning he fulfilled all the things that pertain to the law. That's the sacrifices, that's the rituals, that's the Sabbath day keeping, because he brought a new and living way.
Yeah, so we don't have to have the burnt offerings and those
Absolutely.
Type of things.
Let me ask you a question, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Who was Jesus talking about when he said you follow the doctrines of men? Who was he talking to?
Well, the doctrines of men is where they go in there and they change the commandments.
Well, who did that, though? Who was he talking to?
He was talking of, I guess, of what's to come, you know.
No. You misunderstand. Let me help you, please. Matthew 15, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, he's responding to them. They weren't teaching what was right. Jesus had to go back even to Isaiah, as you rightly stated, and said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, is that being done today? Of course it is. But initially, Jesus was speaking to the scribes and Pharisees. That has nothing to do with his fulfilling the law. He was talking about what they were doing. They were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you know, he never condemned them because they called themselves Pharisees. He condemned them because of their heart. And we've kind of turned that around in recent years in this postmodern Christian world. We're so bad to condemn groups and not talk much about my heart or your heart or anybody's heart is what's going to condemn them. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah.
If your heart's not right, that's what's going to condemn you. God bless you for calling back. We thank you so much. Call again, would you please?
Yeah, just I got one more thing here.
All right. Don't want to run out of time on you today.
In Matthew 5 and 17,
yes, sir?
I think it says, think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophet. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
That's the one I quoted to you a moment ago.
And it says, verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass by one jot or one title, shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And all's not been fulfilled yet, has it?
Well, what is he, three things. Let me try to help you with this.
Mm-hmm.
When you're reading scripture, you have to remember three things. Who's talking? Who's he talking to? And what's he talking about? So Jesus here, verse 1 of Matthew 5, is on the mountainside. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. You know, back then, preachers sat down and preached. People
mm-hmm.
stood.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we've reversed that.
Yeah.
I'm for sitting down, aren't you, brother?
they back there in Constantine's time there, and if you look in the book of Revelations, there, the first resurrection, the ones that's given the robes of white, are the ones that was crucified and killed because they wouldn't change their Sabbath day from the Sabbath
well,
to the first day of the week.
That's your opinion, and you're welcome to that,
mm-hmm.
but that scripture has nothing to do or doesn't name in any way Constantine. And there's all kinds of views about Constantine, 325, Constantinople, and all of the. I understand all of that, but he's not in the Bible.
Yeah.
He's not in the Bible.
No, he's not in the Bible, but he's in the history of over
he's,
in there.
He's in the history.
Right, and
I don't know whether he was ever really saved or not. That's not for me to say.
Well, I can't say that either.
I know he tried to kill the Christians all he could and a lot of others, but they couldn't kill him out. Thank God.
Yeah, they took them that wouldn't change, and they put them, they just sacrificed them, you
they
know.
Did.
Tortured
they did.
Them,
they
and
did.
And they did that, and they changed that, and...
No, they didn't change the worship. They didn't change the day of worship, because as I stated earlier, Christians had been worshiping for over 300 years on the first day of the week.
Well, it's funny the Catholic denomination don't.
But I'm not talking about Catholics.
They don't deny changing the Sabbath.
I'm not talking about Catholics. They deny a whole lot of things that I wouldn't.
Brother,
we've got to go. We're out of time again.
Yeah.
We've closed out two shows with you 2 weeks in a row. But you call back. I'd like to close out another one with you next week.
Okay, you too.
God bless. Bye bye.
And that's going to do it today for this edition of God's Point of View, presented by the...
As a matter of fact, we were going to talk about Catholics today. But we do want to talk about the Trinity next week.
We'll do that.
Okay.
All right, let's try this again. We want to thank you for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. I'd like to invite you to services at the church, 9:30 a.m. for Sunday morning Sunday school, 10:30 a.m. for Sunday morning worship, 6 p.m. Sunday evenings for life groups, and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. So be sure to come join us at the Highland Church of Christ. And thanks again for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.